Praise God. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. We're going to be in Matthew, chapter 4. We're going to close out this fourth chapter of Matthew. And we're going to be going from verses 23 to 25. 23 to 25. And when you've got it, give me a little amen, a little whoop whoop or something. Whoop whoop. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, it says this. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And verse 25 says, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea from beyond the Jordan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray that right now, God, you would continue to move and speak to your people. God, there's nothing that I could offer anyone that would create transformation or change in their lives. It is your word that does it all, Father. So right now, I pray that you would tune our ears that we might hear. I pray that you would prepare our hearts that we might receive. I pray that you would open up our minds that we might comprehend the truth and the revelation of your word this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. We talked a lot this morning, especially during worship, about the fact that we're living in a day where many people are feeling tired and exhausted. I know many of you are aware, and if you aren't aware, maybe you're living under a rock, of the climate that we're living in within our culture that is quite frankly stressful. It's created a lot of division, created a lot of despair, frustration. But I think in many ways, all of us feel that. We all feel this tension and this anxiety. We all come into this room today carrying a baggage that is mixed of all kinds of issues. Some of us, we are dealing with the physical pain in our bodies that won't quit. Some of us are dealing with the mental and emotional exhaustion by everything going on in our lives and in our families. Some of us are dealing with the heartache of children that are dealing with real life issues. Some of us are dealing with deconstructing everything that we believe and not knowing what to believe and not knowing what is true and what is not true, what is real and what is false, what is genuine and not genuine. And others are feeling this spiritual dryness, and they feel like separated from God and far from God, and they feel in such a way that it almost feels like God is like a million miles away from us. I think a lot of us are even feeling really tired of all of the bad news that we get inundated in, whether it be through our own personal lives or all of the stuff that we see all over social media. And if we're honest, I think many of us would say that we're tired of even religion that talks a lot about God but doesn't seem to touch the real life that we're living. Many of us, we've heard all the sermons, we've listened to all the podcasts, we've heard all the explanations, we've been inundated with all the many options that are available, but deep down inside, there's this question that we're asking, and that is, does God actually show up where life really hurts? I know it's quiet in the room, but I know because I see it all throughout the week in the group meets. Text messages that we receive from people that are dealing with real life issues, that are facing real life heartache, that are feeling despair and hopelessness and darkness and confusion and feeling like they're living through a fog, and they're asking the question, does God actually show up in the real life pain of my life? In the things that hurt, the things that are broken, The things that are dark, the things that feel hopeless, the things that feel like they'll never change. And I believe that Matthew chapter 4 verses 23 to 25 answers that question very clearly and plainly with a radical and gigantic yes. That God does show up in the real life pain. That God does show up where life really hurts, that he doesn't do so in some theory, and he doesn't do so in some like mystical way, but he does so in a way that is real, that is concrete, and that is clear. By the time we get to Matthew, it reveals to us this tension that we feel, that we all want the same things. We all want the same things, even if we use different language for it. We want the truth that we can trust. We want a hope that is real. We want healing that actually changes our lives. And I think deep down, many of us want a faith that isn't just true, but it's alive and it's real and it's effective and it's changing and it's transforming and it's moving and it's making things different in our lives. And in this passage, what we see is Jesus stepping onto the scene and Jesus stepping into a world that is full of waiting, that is full of wondering, that is full of hurting, and doesn't just talk about the kingdom, he brings it. By the time we get to the end of Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, we find a passage that is not just a filter, and it's not just a transition. This is like the headline in a newspaper or the headline on an online article. It's a headline of Jesus' ministry that basically sets the stage for everything that follows, including the Sermon on the Mount with all of the Beatitudes and all of the moral teachings and all of the different things that God wants to teach us about his kingdom. It is like the headline of a news article. It's as if Matthew wants to give you the mission statement of Jesus' ministry. And if you want to know what God's heart looks like in real life, you could see it right here. If you want to know the kind of Messiah that Jesus is, it's all listed right here. Matthew, in a way, is telling us that before you hear what Jesus teaches, you need to see the kind of king that he is. And Jesus is the kind of king who is always on the move. He's always moving. He's always headed in a direction. He's always active. Even if you don't see it, you may not believe it. You may not be feeling it, but trust you me, God is moving in your life, and he's moving not away from you, not against you, but towards you and for you. Matthew begins the passage in a way that shows to us that Jesus is not the type of Messiah to sit idly by. That Jesus doesn't wait behind walls, that he doesn't stay in safe places, that he moves towards people, and he moves towards in a direction that is intentional. He moves towards Galilee. It's a city that's not impressive. It's a city that's not dynamic. In fact, it was often overlooked. It was spiritually dismissed. It was a socially mixed city. And that's exactly where Jesus starts his ministry, because Jesus is always moving towards people rather than waiting for people to come to him. He's always going to the darkness. He's always moving towards the marginalized. He's always moving towards the forgotten. He's always moving towards the hurting. He's always moving towards the broken. He's always moving towards the politically tense. He's always moving towards the socially mixed. He's always moving towards the outcast. He's always moving towards your heartache. He's always moving towards your sickness. He's always moving towards your darkness. He's always moving towards your hopelessness. Do I need to go on to make you guys come alive? I will. He's always moving towards your addiction. He's always moving towards your sin. He's always moving towards your dysfunction. He's always moving towards your chaos. He's always moving towards the brokenness that is found in your marriage. He's always moving. He's not a God that sits still and sits idly by.
He's not a guy that is a God that is weary. He's not a God that ever grows tired. He's not a God that ever gives up. He's not a God who sits and watches in brokenness and despair and doesn't do anything. But when God shows up, he moves towards something, and he moves towards the very thing that needs to see the light of his kingdom be shined in it. He moves towards the very thing that is causing the darkness that needs to be reawakened, that needs to be reinvigorated, that needs to be revived and brought back to life. I'm going to preach until this place erupts with praise. He keeps moving towards the very thing you think he gave up on. He's intentional. And the kingdom of God doesn't show up in palaces. It doesn't show up in temples. It doesn't show up in places that look wonderful. No, he begins in places that people have written off. He begins with you, who often feel written off, who often feel forgotten. Some of you need to hear that, because some of you need to be reminded that God's not avoiding your mess. He's stepping into it. That God's not moving away from you, but instead he's moving straight towards you. Because listen to me, Jesus is always on mission. There's nothing that he does in his life, in his ministry, that isn't intentional and isn't on purpose. Understand that there was not an aspect of Jesus's life that was an accident or mistake. Everywhere he goes, he's moving with purpose. And that purpose, Matthew told us last week when he talked about how he went into Galilee so that the word of the prophet might be accomplished, that it was the light standing and shining in the darkness of those who were in the confusion and the darkness. He was quoting Isaiah. God always shows up intentionally in dark places, and he's always on mission. And Matthew lets us know that this mission has priorities. And he lets us know that his mission prioritizes two specific things. In Matthew chapter 23, he starts by saying, and he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Stop. In other words, what Matthew is trying to teach us is that the mission of the king prioritizes teaching and preaching. And I want to slow down for a moment and really listen to what Matthew says, because you have to understand that Matthew is not writing accidentally. Matthew is writing on purpose. Remember, the purpose of Matthew's writings was to show how Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, to show that Jesus was the king who would sit on the throne forever, and to give us an example of what true discipleship looks like. And so when he writes this passage, he puts everything intentionally, because Matthew was an extraordinary writer. And so he gives you everything intentionally in its order. And the first thing that he mentions isn't long worship services. The first thing that he mentions isn't all the supernatural stuff that's happening. The first thing that he mentions isn't the healing and the deliverance. And he doesn't mention all those things first. The first thing he prioritizes, and he demonstrates that Jesus prioritizes, is the teaching and the proclaiming of his gospel. Now that's important, because Jesus does two things everywhere he goes. He teaches and he proclaims his kingdom. And they aren't the same thing. First, he teaches in the synagogues. The synagogue was not the temple. The temple was where sacrifices were made. But the synagogue was where spiritual formation took place. Now, that's important, because every synagogue service followed a pattern. Every week, people would gather. They would hear the scriptures. There would be reading of the law and the prophets. They would pray together. And a rabbi would then come in and interpret and explain the readings. And this is where people learned who God was and how they were supposed to live. And so Jesus steps into this space, and he doesn't reject scripture. He doesn't bypass it. He doesn't diminish it. He opens up the word of God and he elevates it. And in many ways, he redefines it. And the word Matthew uses for teaching means more than just passing on information. It means that it's shaping understanding. It's forming a worldview. It's reframing a reality. You see, Jesus is not just explaining verses. He's teaching people. He's teaching them what God is really like. He's teaching what righteousness actually means. He's teaching what life looks like under God's reign. And that's why later the crowds would look at him and say, this guy really teaches as one who has authority, not like the scribes. Because Jesus, listen to me, Jesus doesn't quote other teachers. He doesn't appeal to tradition. He simply says, you have heard it said, but I say to you, and only God can speak that way. Why do I tell you that? Because I believe that we need to talk about this more than ever. Because I believe there needs to be a reprioritizing of the teaching of the truth of God's word. I believe the modern day Christianity desires the supernatural. It runs towards the prophetic. It runs towards healing. It runs towards deliverance. It runs towards seeing God do supernatural works in people's lives. And that's all good and gravy. But the thing is that we see Jesus prioritizing in his ministry and mission the teaching of God's word. What if that is the most spiritual thing that could happen on a Sunday morning? What if the most spiritual thing that could happen on a Sunday morning is that the word of God is proclaimed in such a way that it is clear, that it is convicting, that it is faithful, that it forms you and shapes you and doesn't just bless you and encourage you? What if the thing that will have the greatest influence on humanity is not a bunch of supernatural manifestations, but the supernatural and authoritative teaching of God's word? Not healing, not prophecy, but teaching. Why aren't we banging down the doors for that? Do you know how many people have come to this church and said, oh, well, we don't feel comfortable here because there's not enough freedom. And I want to see God move in supernatural ways. Well, have you heard his word being taught? Have you heard the gospel being proclaimed? Because listen to me, healing will bless you, but the word of God will shape you. The prophetic will bless you, but it is the word of God that will form you. It is the word of God that will sustain you. It is the word of God that will encourage you. It is the word of God that will convict you. It is the word of God that equips you for every single good work. Not some spiritual gifts, not a charismatic preacher, not a bunch of hokey pokey and hocus pocus and a bunch of people shaking around and speaking in tongues. Listen, I'm not trying to diminish the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in them. I want to elevate them. I want to see God move in a way that is supernatural. There are people look at us and they go, listen, that could only be a work of God. But more than anything, I want to teach you the truth of God's word in such a way that you know what you know, that you know what it means to follow Jesus with all of your heart in a way that will sustain you, not just bless you. I believe we need to hear God's word taught in a way that is clear, that is faithful, that is spirit-inspired, that is convicting. Because the thing that will have the greatest impact on your life as a disciple is the teaching of the truth of God's word. We can lay hands on you all day. We can pray for you all night. We can worship for 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. We can worship an entire night. But the greatest thing that we could offer you is the truth of God's word, because it is the thing that will nourish you. It's God's truth that sets you free. In fact, Jesus said, so in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? The truth will set you free. It's the truth of God's word that produces freedom in your life. You want to know why many of you are so bound by your sin, bound by your addiction, bound by hopelessness and despair, I'm going to ask you, how often do you open up the Word of God? Well, I just don't know why I'm feeling this way. When's the last time you read your Bible? Well, I don't know why things feel so heavy. When's the last time you opened up your Word? When's the last time you sat in the presence of God? Not for Him to do some supernatural thing for you, but for Him to really make the Word of God come alive in you in such a way that it actually breaks the chains over your life. You will know the truth, not the song, not the prayer, not the overnight vigils, not the supernatural encounters. You will know the truth. And as you abide in that truth, you will then receive the freedom that is provided by it. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And he says, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. What is it? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Acquainted with 3 hours of worship? With monthly worship nights? No. Acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. What does that mean? It means that this word gives you everything that you need to know what it looks like to walk as a saved person. Every aspect of your life is covered in this book. Every issue you face, every ounce of wisdom, every direction you need, every word that you need is found in this book. Man, listen, let's stop putting on the Holy Spirit a job He never declared He would have. We walk around like, oh, I just want the Holy Spirit to reveal something new to you. No, the Holy Spirit's job is to point you back to the truth of His Word. Jesus said He will not speak on His own accord. Jesus said He will remind you of all the things that I have already spoken to you. His job is not to reveal anything. His job is to remind you. To remind you what's already been spoken. Paul continues and he says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture, everybody say all scripture. All of it is God breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen to me. I'm not saying that the supernatural gifts and the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit aren't important or that they aren't beneficial. I'm just saying that we need to emphasize the importance and the value of biblical teaching in our lives again. You know why I say that? Because week in and week out, I come here and there's a real tension of having to perform for you because God forbid you're bored with what's being presented to you. Listen, don't fall in love with my jokes. They're not that funny. Don't fall in love with the gifts that you see up here. Fall in love with the Word of God. Listen to me. The reason why this is important is because before Jesus deals with healing your physical body, He deals with healing your soul. What does it profit that He heals you from sickness but doesn't heal your soul? What does it profit you that you have this experience and the supernatural encounter, but the moment you leave this place, your life doesn't look like it should look like, and it doesn't look like it's submitted and surrendered to the only one that could actually make a difference in your life. He could heal your body, but more than anything, He wants to heal your soul. And that's why you need the Word of God. That's why he didn't avoid teaching. That's why he didn't resist it. That's why he made it a priority. But we can't only have teaching. We also need preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Matthew, being an incredible writer and intentional as he is, he changes the verbs on purpose that are used in this passage. He changes teaching, which explains, to proclaiming, which announces. You see, the word here means to herald like a messenger sent of a king. This isn't a discussion. This isn't a debate. This is a declaration. This isn't some self-help strategy. You see, Jesus is announcing that something has changed. That the gospel is not just simply advice. It's not a tip. It's not some self-help strategy. It's a good news. And in this time, the word used for gospel was actually a word that was used for military terms. And it would declare that there was a military victory, that the birth of a king has been announced, that the arrival of a new ruler. It was a military and royal word that was used to describe all three of those things. So when Jesus comes proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, he's saying God's reign has finally arrived, meaning that you no longer have to have sin ruling over your life. You no longer have to have sickness dominating your life. You no longer have to have anxiety, worry, despair dominating over you, because the kingdom of heaven has arrived. A new sheriff is in town and things are about to be taken care of. In other words, God is reclaiming authority. Sin no longer has the final word. Sickness is defeated. Satan is being pushed back. Restoration has begun. And this is why Jesus' message is always calling us to repentance, which is not shame, it's not guilt, it's not even conviction. It's a call to a realignment. It's a turning point. It's a turning point of your life toward the King who is already not coming here. Now, Jesus brings this full circle, because the teaching and the preaching, although they are two different things, both are needed. Because here's what Matthew wants us to see. Jesus doesn't just teach truth. He does not just demonstrate power. He announces a new reality and then teaches people how to live in it. He brings both. He teaches so that we understand the kingdom, and he proclaims so we know that the kingdom has finally arrived. And then we see that Jesus does what only the Messiah could truly do, and that is to heal every single person who comes into his presence. You see, I'm not trying to tell you that God doesn't want to do supernatural things in your life. I'm just trying to teach you that the most supernatural thing he could do is to heal your soul before he touches your body, to deal with your soul before he deals with your circumstance. To deal with your soul before he deals with your issue, before he deals with your marriage, before he deals with your children, before he deals with your finances, before he deals with the oppression in your life. Everything first stems from the reality of the condition of your soul. And when Jesus teaches and he proclaims, then healing follows. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick, those afflicted and various diseases and pains, those who were oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from the Jordan. You see, here's what I have come to believe and I want to encourage you with today. Wherever the kingdom of God is taught and proclaimed, the power of the kingdom follows. I'm going to say that again. Wherever the kingdom of God is taught and proclaimed, the kingdom follows. Matthew piles up all these words. And he lets you know, yo, they bring all the disease. They bring all of the afflicted. They bring all of the people who were suffering with pain and demonic oppression and paralysis and seizures. Why? Because Matthew wants you to know that there is no brokenness that Jesus cannot deal with. Thank you. There's no brokenness that Jesus cannot deal with. There's no darkness that he can't shine a light in. There's no demonic oppression that he can't set you free from. There's not a circumstance that is too hopeless for you. There's not a burden he can't lift. There's no category of brokenness that is outside of Jesus' authority. Are you dealing with physical issues? Jesus can deal with that. Are you dealing with mental issues? He can deal with that too. Are you dealing with spiritual issues? Bring it to Jesus because he could deal with that. Are you struggling with your emotions? Are you struggling with finances? Are you struggling with hopelessness? Are you struggling with addiction? Are you struggling with demonic oppression? Are you struggling with sickness? You can bring it all to Jesus. And listen to me, it all has to bow to his authority. All of it. Because Jesus doesn't just forgive sin. He undoes the effects of it. Listen, every healing is a preview of what the kingdom looks like. It's a trailer. It's a glimpse of what the kingdom will be like when it fully comes. The miracles, they're not just random acts of kindness. They are proof that the king and his kingdom have arrived. So let me ask you something. In all honesty, think about this question. What kind of king are you expecting? Some of us, we want a king who agrees with us. Some of us, we want a king who fixes others. Some of us, we want a king who fixes us. Some of us, we want a king who stays distant because that would require us to not have to surrender. But Jesus is a king who teaches truth that confronts, who proclaims grace that invites us, who heals brokenness that humbles us. You don't get to edit him. You simply get to receive him. Now, let me also ask you, are you bringing your brokenness to Jesus or hiding it? Are you hiding it because you're embarrassed? Are you hiding it because you're ashamed? Are you hiding it because you doubt he could actually do something? Are you hiding it because you don't want to expose yourself? Listen to me. Notice that the crowds didn't clean people up. Notice that they didn't explain their sickness. Notice that they didn't qualify their need. They just brought them. And I want to encourage you, man. I know you can. I know. I could tell by your response. Man, some of you are really going through. And if you would just bring it to him. I've got good news for you this morning. The kingdom is not coming, it is here. God's authority is here. You don't have to wait for God to set you free because he already has. The Bible says that he has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. Some of you are exhausted because you're trying to deal with your issues yourself.
Because some of you, listen to me, some of you are like the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I've recognized that so many of us probably don't know the story, but let me tell you the story. The Bible says there's this woman who suffered from an issue of blood, meaning that she bled. She had an issue bleeding constantly. And the Bible says that she did everything she could. She spent everything she had going from physician to physician to physician to physician. And the Bible says that she was left worse every single time. You see, that's a picture of many of us. We bring our issues, we bring our sin, we bring our oppression, we bring our hopelessness, we bring our despair, we bring our anxiety, we bring our depression, we bring our worries, we bring our fears to every single thing except Jesus. And then we wonder why we're left worse off every single time. But I'm telling you, if you would just be like the woman with the issue of blood today, Jesus has been proclaimed unto you. And I want to let you know that if you would just touch the hem of his garment, just one little touch, just one simple touch, just one small act of faith could change everything in your life. It could break every chain. It could deliver you from every oppression. It could deal with the sickness that is so afflicting your life. It could remove every ounce of pain that you have been crippled by your entire life. If you would just come to Jesus. Because I need you to know that the kingdom of God shows up where we're honest. You know why so many of you haven't changed for you? It's because you haven't gotten real with the gravity of your condition. No, some of us, we go, well, Pastor, it's not that bad. No, I could handle it. No, I haven't really walked away from God. I've just made some mistakes. No. It's not that bad. I could deal with this. I could handle it. Listen to me. The honest to God fact is that you can't. And if you can't, you never will. And if you want to get that burden lifted off your shoulders, man, you've got to come running to the feet of Jesus where you could lay that thing down and take up the yoke that he says is light for you. It's easy. It's wonderful. You're tired. You're desperate. You're hurting. You're fearful. You're anxious. You're depressed. You bring that all to Jesus and he removes that burden from you and he takes it upon his shoulders and he gives you a burden that is light. Notice that the Bible says they brought all of these people to him and there was not one person that was left unchanged, and that reality could be true for you. And so the same king who healed the sick and would later then take on sickness upon himself is here right now. The same king who cast out demons and would be crushed by the weight of sin is here right now. The same king who restored broken lives would give his own life on the cross so that whoever would put their faith in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so this morning, as I have my prayer team come up, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. We're not going to rush out of here because the Super Bowl ain't till 6:30. Listen to me, if you've got some brokenness that you want God to deal with, you need to come up to this front right now. If you're looking to surrender your life to Jesus, let one of these people pray with you. If you're looking to have Jesus deal with your sickness, your anxiety, your oppression, your brokenness, right now is the moment. And so I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to come up in faith and bring all of your issues to God. Father, right now, we thank you that the kingdom is not coming, is here, God. I thank you that your word has been taught. Your truth has been proclaimed. And right now, I ask the Holy Spirit would begin to convict each and every single heart. God, reveal to us the gravity of our sins. Reveal to us the gravity of our situations. Reveal to us the heaviness of our brokenness so that we might bring our brokenness unto you. And right now, we declare that the same God who did it then will do it now. The same God who delivered will deliver today. The same God who healed will heal sicknesses today. The same God that set free then is setting free now. The same God that gave sight to the blind will open our eyes. The same God who allowed the mute to speak will allow us to speak. The same God who caused the lame to walk will give us strength to be able to walk in freedom, to be able to walk in boldness, to be able to walk in confidence, to be able to walk in strength. God, in the name of Jesus, speak to us in Jesus' name.